Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to speak to you today about the first person recorded to ever fight the Church of God in the New Testament while using supernatural signs and wonders. Interestingly enough, this same person was baptized in the name of Christ and professed Christianity for a while. This person was Simon the Magician. Not only did he have a run-in with the apostles, but his teachings lived on and greatly influenced modern Christianity. His story also might give us some insight into what will happen in the future. So if you all please open your Bibles and turn to Acts 8. So we're going to start with Acts 8, verse 5. And it goes, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So this is in the land of Samaria. So who are the Samaritans? We'll start there. The Samaritans were people that had taken Judaism and paganism and mixed them together into a hybrid religion. Traditionally, these people have been thought of as people who were brought from outside during the when the Assyrians came in and took Israel captive and took them away, that they then brought somebody from somewhere else and brought them in. Simon was one of these people. He was one of these Samaritans. So let's drop down to verse 9. So Acts 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, so in Samaria, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. He told them he was, and they believed it. This man actually said he was the power of God. Quote-unquote, early church fathers had a whole lot to say about this man. And it's hard to know exactly how much is legend and how much is true, but there's a lot of information. I think we can pull a lot from that. Irenaeus stated that Simon taught to the Samaritans that he was the Father. To the Jews, he was Jesus Christ. And to everyone else in the nations, or Gentiles, or however you want to put it, that he was the Holy Spirit. This man actually claimed he was the entire Godhead and the power of God. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So this is what's going on in Samaria. And Simon himself believed also. And then he was baptized and continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. So Simon, being a Samaritan and having this mixture of Judaism and paganism, would have understood a lot that was in the Old Testament. And so what Philip was preaching about the gospel and about Christ would have made a lot of sense to him. But he was very attracted, as it says in verse 13, he wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So he saw that and goes, wow, I do some stuff, and look, they got more tricks. I like that. I want this power. So it all started going wrong at that point. Verse 14, it goes on, it talks about how the apostles in Jerusalem heard what was going on in Samaria, and they come down. And then they pray on them to give them the Holy Spirit because as of that time, they had not had hands laid upon them. They'd only been baptized. So they still needed to receive the Holy Spirit. So verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power. On that whomever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But then Peter rebuked him, and he said, Thy money perish with you, and because thou hast thought that the gift of God might be purchased with money. And then a few more verses are there where he basically curses him through verse 24. And then nothing is ever mentioned about this man again. But I think it's a very important story, and we're going to try to pull some things from that. Simon already had a power from the demons that allowed him to do things that mortal men can't normally do. And from these acts that he did, these sorcerous miracles, however you want to put it, He bewitched the people, and he received a lot of fame, a lot of money, a lot of notoriety. But then he saw that the Holy Spirit was given to people when the apostles laid their hands upon him. You know, if he could receive that power, where he could give the Holy Spirit to other people, he could say he was definitely God, and he has even more authority than he had before. But after he was rebuked by Peter, there was no more mention of him. But his followers kept on through the centuries. And the early church fathers wrote a whole lot about them, especially. Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, many other church fathers wrote about that almost all heresies came from Simonians, as they were called. And Eusebius, several hundred years later, actually talked about how those people, his followers, were a scourge on the church and kept working their way back in with heresies. So let's talk about a couple of Simon's teachings. So you have the scriptures, which talk about him just there in Acts. Then there's another group of information about him by the, quote, early church fathers that wrote a lot. And then there's another group that's legends. So as you work your way down that hierarchy, you have less and less, you can be less and less sure it's true. But I think it's a little bit interesting to read some of the things that have been said about him and what he taught. He said he was the power of God. He was the initial God being. He wanted to receive the ability to have the Holy Spirit given to people, though, because then he would be even stronger and more great of a God. And this is lawlessness. This is like Mr. Hoosier was talking about, antinomianism, Gnosticism. He fits within that genre, in that sphere. So he said he literally was the power of God. And then it is said that he traveled around with a woman named Helen. Helen was actually a prostitute that he had fallen in love with, and he bought her. And then he said before anything was ever created, she was his first thought, and therefore she was created. And then she actually came down into the physical plane and created the angels, and then the angels created the world and all that, but the angels were jealous of her, so they trapped her into a physical body. And as time went by, she just got reincarnated over and over and over and over again into different bodies, including Helen of Troy and some other people, until she worked her way all the way down to being this prostitute. So then Simon said he was the number one God. He decided to divest himself of his divinity, basically, and come down to save her. So he saved her, brought her back to him, and then, just out of the goodness of his heart, decided that he would give salvation to the rest of mankind through his knowledge. So there's a lot of interesting things in there that if we think about Satan, about the angels creating the world and this fake God divesting himself of his divinity. There's a lot of things in there, I think, that you can see that he was trying to parody the truth but twist it. He also taught the law was done away with, and many of the perversions kept working their way into the church through him, including a lot of sexual perversions, a lot of magic was all practiced by the Simonians. All these Gnostic, lawless teachings that if you have this secret knowledge, then you are able to get closer to God, and that the truth comes from within you and then comes out. So we've talked about who Simon was in the past now, and some of his teachings, and how they've had an impact on the church today, the modern most of Christianity. So, but is there anything we can learn from him about the future? Please turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians, Daniel, and Revelation, and then we're going to talk about Simon in a minute. I think we can weave all this together into something we might be able to glean from that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there first come a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is, as God, citizen in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, that sounds a bit familiar. So we're told that this man will come along and both oppose God and say that he is God. And this is very similar to what Simon did. Now, please, you don't have to turn there, but Daniel 8, verse 11. It says, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of hosts. So, this magnifies himself to as much as God. And by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cut down. And then Daniel 11:36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Okay, so that ties in with 2 Thessalonians 2. So someone who's magnifying themselves as much as God. And then if you go to Revelation 13, this is the second beast who does a very similar thing. And he spoke like a dragon, and then he says he exercised power with the first beast, and he caused fire to come down. So he shows, and he deceives many. So you got lying wonders, deception, very similar to the way Simon acted. So we have the man of sin slash second beast doing and acting much as Simon did, only on a much greater scale. He will claim himself to be God, deceive, and do supernatural works, and strive with the people of God. As you remember, to the Samaritans, he said he was the Father. To the Jews, he said he was Christ. And to the nations, he said he was the Holy Spirit. And in most of modern Christianity, the God of the Old Testament is who? It's the Father. The God of the New Testament is who? Jesus Christ. Perhaps this man of sin, second beast, will come along and say, I'm the Holy Spirit. I am the power of God. And he will try to rule the world. This would finish and complete the idea of the Trinity. Very similar to what Simon did. Perhaps God gave us this story in Acts to give us a warning. Maybe it's a blueprint for some things that are to come. Now that is speculation. I don't know that. But I think it's very, there's a lot of similarities there. And so we should watch. We must remember though, there is no shortcut to God. And the truth does not come from within ourselves, but only from God. The power of God only comes from submitting to God. There is no shortcut to it. We cannot buy it, and we cannot claim it for ourselves. So let us watch and remember the warnings that our great God gives us, and that we are not deceived by an arrogance and lying signs and wonders that are to come.